Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament passage is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8. Beginning at verse 26. Listen for the word of God. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the deep. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. This week, I wasn't quite sure what I should preach about. So I consulted a lectionary and dived into an unexpected theme. When my husband Clifford asked me this weekend what I would be preaching about, he couldn't quite believe it. He repeated, "The Gerasene demoniac on Father's Day." Like, really? But this powerful passage has caused me to think about Jesus' miracle from the perspective of God as our loving Heavenly Father. God is our provider. We see vividly that Jesus provided for this man physically, spiritually, socially, and even gave him a vocation. Some of you may be aware that there's a debate in the wider church these days among preachers regarding the manner by which one selects Bible passages for sermons. Some follow the lectionaries, which are a list of several passages for each day of the year and for each Sunday. And the list actually includes an Old Testament passage and a psalm, and a passage from one of the Gospels or Acts, and an epistle. And the idea is that the preacher will take on the discipline of preaching on the prescribed passages each week and follow the seasonal rhythms of the liturgical year. This is not ideal, since even on the 3-year cycle of the Revised Common Lectionary that many Christian denominations may choose to use, you don't actually hear every single passage of the Bible. So it could be that a congregation might never hear a sermon on certain Bible passages. And at the other end of the spectrum is the practice of freedom for the preacher. He or she may follow the Holy Spirit's leading and choose any passage that would be fitting for the time and maybe in response to questions or issues that the congregation is facing. And I think that's what Lou and I generally try to do. But the danger is, of course, you might hear a lot of sermons on similar themes. So the challenge here is to think about why they would choose this passage for Father's Day. And I think there's a lot that we can learn when we look more closely at this miraculous healing in the passage from the Gospel according to Luke and think about how it applies to our lives today. What we see here is a guy who was in really bad shape. His life was a mess, a disaster. Looking at his outward appearance, he could be considered the lowest of the low, really unclean. He was naked, hanging out in the cemetery, living in the tombs. And he was totally out of control. He was shouting at the top of his lungs. And he was all alone, except for a herd of pigs that was rooting around in the area. And the swineherds were afar off. Talk about dirty. Who would want to go near him? Just going near him, where he was in his condition, would make that person, if they were Jewish, ritually unclean. So we may even wonder, what was Jesus doing there? Why would Jesus even go over there? And this is an example of the many times that Jesus went away from the usual thing that we would expect and ventured out. We know of miracles he did in Samaria, teaching and preaching and healing people. And I was reminded, too, that there are so many of these times when Jesus was on a mission to help people that you might not even expect. And God has made it so that we know about these things that Jesus accomplished. At the end of the Gospel according to John, we find that this testimony about Jesus and his actions is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did. It says, if every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amazing. But we do know about this one. When we think about this poor man who was in such a state, we think about what the people of the city would have thought. We think about what would Jesus have thought. But when Jesus saw this man, he didn't just look at his outward appearance. He recognized in him a person who is a child of God. This man wasn't one of the sons of Israel. He was a Gentile in an area, it says, opposite from Galilee, on the other shore of the lake. This guy was isolated from society. He was having a really scary experience. But Jesus saw him with the eyes of God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus saw how he could be if he were healed, if he were decently dressed and in his right mind again. So he approached the man to give him the help he needed. Jesus reached out with his presence and the power of his word to restore him as God intended. Like a loving father, he didn't judge him superficially, but he believed that his life could be turned around again. A good father recognizes that sometimes the help that a person needs is more than he can provide. God, our Heavenly Father, is willing and able to provide for us and for our loved ones in ways that are beyond our power. God provides for us physically. For the Gerasene demoniac, his body was very vulnerable. To be naked in a desert climate is to be exposed to sunburn by day and to very, very cold temperatures by night. This poor man was disturbed. He was crying out, shouting. His throat must have hurt. His lips and mouth were probably parched with the heat. He was racked with pain, since whenever people attempted to restrain him, he broke the chains and tore through the shackles. This must have made him notorious. He was agitated and troubled as he stalked around the graveyard and tried to sleep among the tombs. When Jesus met him, this man's body seems to have been the farthest thing from health and wholeness and peace. How can this relate to us? We know that God gives us our life and strength, our ability to grow and to go on living. God sustains us daily, even if we aren't healed of everything that we find difficult or painful in our flawed and aging physical bodies. God provides for us spiritually. Jesus spoke directly to the man, cutting through the barrage of verbal fireworks that he set off when he acknowledged, "Jesus is the Son of the Most High God." By asking the man his name, Jesus caused him to name his problem. There was a legion of demons afflicting him. And my note in my study Bible says that in the Roman army, a legion was a battle force of 4,000 to 6,000 soldiers. How typical. When we face spiritual oppression, it boasts overwhelming size to try to lead us to despair. This man had been many times seized by demonic, destructive spirits. But when Jesus spoke, he commanded the spirits to come out of him. He gave permission for them to enter into the herd of swine instead. Those poor pigs ran to their death into the lake, but the man was troubled no more. What? This astounding turn of events startled and amazed, and maybe, probably infuriated the swineherds. So they ran off to tell people about it in the city and the countryside. When they returned, the crowd of people saw that the man was clothed and in his right mind. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus as a student, eager to hear more of his teaching. The people stared at this guy whom they had last seen when he was at his worst. He was totally changed. Who was this Jesus who was responsible for such a miracle? And what in the world might he do next? They were afraid. And then the crowd asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. As astounding and disturbing and disrupting as it is, sometimes God has to do dramatic things to root out trouble from our lives. God restores our soul. And what he does brings us into a right relationship with him through Jesus. There may be things that we struggle with spiritually. You might not say that they're demons, but there are things that trouble our hearts and spirits. And by God's power, he forgives us and heals us and brings us a peace that we cannot find anywhere else. God provides for us socially in our relationships and gives us a vocation. Jesus told the man to return to his home and family. They must have been amazed, overjoyed, and relieved to see him back to his old self, but renewed. Who knows how much they had been worried for him during the time when he was away from home and struggling so terribly. His family and friends and their neighbors would have marveled at all that Jesus had done for him. By directing the man to return home, Jesus restored him to his place in society, where people knew him. They had seen how much he had devolved in the past and what his life had become, but then they saw, and all the rest of the crowd could see, that his life was totally new, totally restored. He had been healed, and they could see it and hear it for themselves. Although the astonished and grateful man wanted to follow Jesus, to join him as one of his group of disciples, Jesus had a different plan for him. He directed him, "Declare how much God has done for you." So that became his mission. Right after receiving Jesus' instructions, he obeyed. He went away to the city. He fulfilled God's purposes for his life by proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. We see that God gives us friendships and fellowship. He knows that we are people who thrive in relationships. We need one another. So he puts us into a family of people who know us the best and love us. We live in a neighborhood or a community where we can be in relationship with people, a wider circle. And most helpfully, the Lord calls us to join in the fellowship of the church, our community of faith. Here we can share meaningfully in our weekly worship. We can learn together, and we can join forces in the mission that God has given us. We can share these experiences together. All the highs and lows of our journey through life are sustained through the bonds of Christian friendship. And God also provides for us in our work. He gives us a vocation. He leads us to fulfill his purposes in our life. As Christians, we seek to discern God's will for us through prayer, as we consider the opportunities that he places in our path, and through reading God's word and talking with others who share our values, we can take courage and follow where the Lord leads us. This is true in our work life and our family responsibilities, in the volunteer roles that we come to see as given to us by God. I just want to say how important it is that the men of the church and the fathers in our community share their gifts and talents. They serve in leadership roles and as volunteers. We are so blessed by them. They help as youth group leaders and Sunday school teachers. They share their concern and their love of the Lord with our students in important ways. As you know, our new superintendent is a man of faith, Peter Miller, who answered the call to this new role in his life after years of being a Sunday school teacher. And actually, studies have shown, including the one by a former pastor, Carol Litch, that the level of future participation of youth in church is directly linked to the degree of commitment that their parents exhibit. That's something to take seriously. Fathers, dads, men out there, your being part of the church is like the strongest influence that you can give to helping your kids see how much your faith and the church means to you. And of course, we all benefit from our town's strong Boy Scout and Cub Scout programs that are led by dedicated men who are good role models and provide students opportunities to learn new skills and to serve others throughout our community. But ultimately, it's not about how good a father we are, but how good a father we have, our Heavenly Father. Not all of us are called to be parents. Each one of us is a flawed individual in need of God's grace. And sometimes we may even feel like the Gerasene demoniac, that we are a mess and we just can't get it together, or that our life has somehow spun out of control, or that we're afraid of what the future holds, or that we're all alone. But let us remember that Jesus doesn't look at our outward appearance. He sees us through the eyes of love. He sees us as our Heavenly Father sees us. God is powerful to provide for all of our needs, to heal and restore us, to make our lives new again, so that we can move forward and work with others according to His purposes for our life. Thanks be to God.